Yudom and Aleph. Trichus of the Meser Hemyone. The Gemara says that in Bavel, as soon as they loosened their belt, so that was considered already starting to eat, and you didn't have to be matzik to daven mincha. And Maariv, if you hold Maariv as a chova, you still had to put the belt back on. So Gemara says that's a big tircha to go and start putting on your belt again. The oath, leku haki v'litzli. Why do you have to put the belt on the cloud? Leave the belt off and daven like that, without the belt. Gemara says, mishum shenemar hikon likras elokecha Yisrael. Because you have to prepare yourself, being dressed properly to daven. So you have to put on a belt to daven. So the Tosis brings down over here in Machzor Vitri that it's only if you are libo roes ha'erva. They didn't wear pants. They wore robes. So underneath the robe, their heart and the bottom part of their body, the erva was in the same place. So they had to put a belt to separate. But we wear pants, so the tightness of the pants separates between the top part of your body and the bottom part. We don't have to wear a belt when we daven. That's the Machzor Vitri. The Rosh holds that even without the halacha of libos or erva, he brings quite a few rayas to that, you have to wear a belt, but it's only for people who normally wear a special belt all day. They used to wear like a sash or whatever. If you wear that all day, then you have to wear it for davening too. But if you don't wear a special sash, then you don't have to wear a special sash for davening either. A gartel is a special belt for davening. So, lahalocha, according to the Machzor Vitri, we wear a belt anyway that we don't have libo roes ha'erva. And we don't wear a gartel all day, so you don't have to wear it for davening either. And what's it called? The regular belt that we wear all day, so we wear that for davening too. So there's no inyan bedavka to wear a special belt for davening. Okay. Rava Baravhuna, Romi Puzmiki Umatzli. Now we're going to discuss a little bit this halach of Hikon Likrasis Elokhefe Yisrael. You have to get dressed for davening, get dressed up for davening. So it says that Rava Baravhuna used to put on Puzmiki in modern usage, you mean socks. They didn't just put on socks. Put on some kind of thing that went on his feet that went up until the knee. Especially like a shin guard or whatever, they used to wear out covered. Special kind of levush on the legs that was a covered dika levush. He used to put them on to daven. Omar hikon likras elokecha Yisrael. He said, you have to prepare yourself physically, dress-wise, to daven. Rava shodi glime upochar yode umatzli. Rava would take off his overcoat, right? His glima was his an outer garment that was for covet, and he shouldn't daven before the Rabbanu Shlom in this extra covetic garment, right? It was too much of his own covet. So he took it off. So he took off the overcoat, and pachar yodei, and he clasped his hands together and davened. Omar ka'avde kamei mori. He davened like a servant standing before his master with his hands clasped. Omravashi, Chazino Leila Rav Kahana, Ki Ikatzar Rabbi Alma, Shodi Glime Upochar Yode Umatzli. When there was a time of Tsar and Tsara, so he davened with his hands clasped, and he took off his old outer garment, not to give that extra covet for himself when he davened. Omar Ka'avde Kami Mori, Ki Ikashalma, when there was peace in the world, and it wasn't an Ace Tsara, Lovish Umiskasi, he would wear his outer beget, Umisate Umatzli. And he would daven bedavka with that outer beged on. Omar, he called the grass lokecha Israel. Here, there's no idea of making yourself subdued and lowly. That's only when a time of tsar. But in a time when everything is okay, then the ikur is to dress up for davening. The poskim bring down this idea of dressing up for davening. Is everything depends on minhag hamakom. There's no set dress for davening, right? In the places where they appear in front of important people and with a certain kind of dress, and you wouldn't go in front of an important person in that place in a different kind of dress, and that's the kind of dress you have for davening. But the Berhaita brings down that in hot places where everybody goes with short pants, right? Even in front of important people, or in the kibbutzim, or whatever, for that matter, right? They go to the chasana in short pants, right? So the mice, since you would go in front of important people like that, as long as there's no halachas of tznius, l'gavi davening, right? There's certain halachas of a pocheach, or whatever, being with your arms uncovered, or whatever. If there's no specific halacha, then the minigamokal, that's what you can daven. The berita brings on. In hot places, they can daven with short pants, too. Right? That's what everybody wears, and even in front of important people. So it depends on the place. There's no halacha that you have to daven in a hat or a jacket. It depends on the place. In a place where hats and jackets are the mode of dress in front of important people, you have to wear a hat and a jacket. And what kind of hat you wear depends on the place. Right? The Rambam didn't wear a black hat. There's no shaila about it. Okay? There's no pictures of the Rambam with a black hat on. No pictures of the Rambam. But in any case, but I guarantee you, wear a turban. So in his time, wear a turban. If you would have worn a black hat, it would have been Purim. Right? It would have been a masquerade. But in places where black hats or any kind of hat is the mode of dress in for important things, and you have to wear a hat when you're down. So whatever the mode of dress is at that time, in that place, in front of important people, then that's the kind of dress you should have in davening.
Bermuda is a perfect
example of this. What?
Bermuda.
Bermuda. Oh, that's where they wear Bermuda shorts, I assume. Okay. Okay. Let's go on. Rav Chazye, but here it says he clasped his hands, so it's brought down that Alpi Kabbalah, a person shouldn't interlock his fingers one inside the other like that, because the right and left hands and the different fingers represent the different kochos lamala. When you interlock them, you cause short circuits to be achol in Shamayim. Right. Also, if somebody by accident, without thinking, holds his hands like that, it's a simon that he's being judged lamala. So lamaisa, it's not a good idea to go like that. It's in addition, that's how the Christians pray, and it's shtikol chukas hagoyim to daven like that. But it says over here he clasped his hands. He means he put them one over the other on his chest, not in interlocked. The fingers interlocked. Should never do it. Let's call it. You shouldn't do it because it says Alti Kabbalah is not a good thing. When you're davening, you shouldn't do it because it's Shtikul Chukos Hagoyim. That's how they daven. And what's it called? I just got a shaila over the internet from a guy who said he's been a Marano for, his family's been Maranos, Anusim, for hundreds of years, and they have the meaning of saying Kriyashma kneeling with their eyes closed, and they say Kriyashma. Obviously, the reason they kneel is because they were Maranos. So you want to know what he should do? Well, it's Minig Avosov. You should continue doing it or not. But in any case, so you shouldn't clasp your hands like the Christians do when you pray. Even when you're not davening, right? It's not a good simon to do. And if you do it unconsciously, it says it's a simon that you're being nidon in Shammai. Okay. Let's go on. Rava Chazi l'Rava Menuna dekomarech bitzlusei. Rava saw that Rava Menuna was saying an extra long Shmoneh Esrei. Omar minichin chayol and voskim bechayishah, right? You should say a regular Shmoneh Esrei and get back to learning, right? Not be marich in Shmoneh Esrei and from that be mavakel from Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is chayolam. That's what's olam haba dika things. And tefillah is chayishah. It's for this world. You daven for things in this world. So tefillah is what's called chayishah. You're spending extra long time in chayishah and you're neglecting chayolam. The husavar zman tefillah lechud zman Torah lechud. Each one has its proper time, and there's a need for Chai Olam too, Chai Shah too, the main Kemach in Torah. So you need to spend the time davening for Chai Shah, so you'll be able to get Chai Olam too. And tefillah is also a mitzvah, right? Could be, I don't know, just off the top of my head, it could be that it's also part of the Machlokas. That there's a Machlokas whether tefillah is a mitzvah or not. The Rambam holds tefillah is a mitzvah every day, and the Ramban holds that there's no mitzvah of tefillah except the Eish Tzara. But it's just you're allowed to daven, but there's no mitzvah to daven. If there's a mitzvah to daven, so it's a mitzvah she'ief shalakayim al yidei acherim, and it's a mitzvah veris, you can daven long, and you get a mitzvah, and it's chai olam haba too, because you get a chai olam haba for a mitzvah. But, and therefore, zman tefillah lechud, zman Torah lechud. Each one has its maila, each one's a mitzvah, and when the mitzvah zman of tefillah, you have no mitzvah Torah, because it's a mitzvah veris, she'ief shalakayim al yidei acherim. But if your whole tefillah is not a mitzvah, min ha-Torah. Only maybe the Rabbanan a mitzvah. Min ha-Torah, it's not a mitzvah. It's just you're allowed to do it. Then, it's right. Why, how can you be involved in something? It's only Chai Shoah, and you're mavakel from Talmud Torah. So it could be this machlokus is totally whether one held that what's it called, Rav Hamanuna held that tefillah is not a mitzvah, and Rava held that tefillah is not a mitzvah, and Rav Hamanuna held that tefillah was a mitzvah. Rav Yirmiyah havi yosef kamed Rav Zeira, v'havi aski b'shmaisa. Rav Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rav Zeira, and they were learning. Noga litzluyeh. Bahavi komisarik. So it came time to daven. It was getting late. It came time to daven. And misariv Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was rushing to get up to daven, right? To stop learning, right? And to daven. Kori ale Rabbi Zeira meser ozno mishmo Torah gam tfilosu toreva. So Rabbi Zeira called on Rabbi Yirmiyah. He applied to Rabbi Yirmiyah the following pasuk: a person who pulls his ear away from listening to Torah, gam tfilaso toeva, his tfila is also a toeva. So you shouldn't rush to stop learning in order to daven. Right? The whole purpose of the davening is for the sake of the learning, and you're stopping the learning, so your tfila is a toeva. I once heard from somebody, Rabbi Weberman in Miami, he told me a nice pshat. He says a person meser ozno mishmo Torah. Somebody, you tell him a chiddush, and he says, I heard that before. What's it called? So I'm not interested. What's it called? I heard that. That's old Torah. So a person who's like that, Meser Ozno Mishmoa Torah, because he heard it already, his tefillah is also Toeva. Because the person thinks like, I davened like, I said that this morning, I said that yesterday afternoon, I said that last night. Same davening, right? So your tefillah is a Toeva. If you're not interested in listening to the same Torah over again, why isn't you davening the same Shemoneh Esrei over again? Me'emasai, okay, let's see, Rashi. He kom likras alokecha, hisnoi lefonav. Dress nicely before the Rabbanu Shalom. Dress up before him. Rami Puzmiki, nosin anfilios hashuvim baragla. He used to put his special leg guards on, or special stockings, what's it called? But it doesn't mean the socks like we wear socks. And Tosfos says, from here you can learn that you can't daven barefoot, except on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. But otherwise, you should have your more kavodik leg wear on, which includes your shoes. Okay. Go on. Shodi glima, mashli chadarto. He took off his cloak. That's a good word. His cloak. Me'olav shalayir kechashuv. He didn't wear his cloak. He shouldn't look important when he was davening. Upachar yodei, chovek yodah betz ba'osav. Right? He would fold his hands, his fingers in his, over his hands. Ka'odam ha'mitztair me'imus rabba. Like a person who is standing in awe and trepidation in front of his master. Chaye olam Torah. Tfila tzorech chaye shohi. L'refua, l'sholom, zonos. Tfila is mostly for this worldly things. Noga ichar. It was getting late. Misare memayer lamod. And he was rushing to get up to daven. Okay. Me'emosai hascholas din. We mentioned before that as soon as you start one of these things, you're allowed to finish, as long as there still will be time to daven. Even if you miss davening b'tzibur, right, then you don't have to stop these things before mincha. So when is called the beginning of these things? So we already had when the beginning of the burski is, when the beginning of eating is. Now when's the beginning of a din Torah? Rav Yirmiyah of Rav Yonah, chad omer mishiyah, sa'atfu adayonim, when the dayonim put on their talis. They used to be done dinei Torah with a talis on. So they would cover their heads and they wouldn't, get distracted. They would pay attention to what's going on, listening to the Balei Dinim or whatever. Rashi, Dayanim misatvim b'talisan, kishaposchim b'din, me'em ashchina, u'shalo yifnu roshon l'kan l'kan, v'tei daitam yusheves aleihin. So they put it on, the talis over their head. One reason is, al'seim ashchina, because when judges judge, the shchina is there with them. And also, they shouldn't, lose their concentration. And the other one said, when the Balei Dinim start to say their tainus, velo pligin, there's no argument between them. If this is the first din of the day, then the beginning is when they put their talisim on. But they have one din after the other, they don't take off their talis between each din. Right? The Balei Dinim come into the chambers of the Beis Din, and the Dayanim have their talisim on from the beginning of the time they started to judge. So the beginning of each specific din is when the Balei Dinim start to have their tainus. But the beginning of the first din of the day is even before the Balei Dinim say their tainus, when the Dayanim put their talis on. But for this specific din, right? If you started your din Torah is when you started saying your tainus, or the other side started saying their tainus. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi have a yasvi v'garsi beni amude. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were learning between the pillars that held up the roof in the Beis Medrash. V'chol shaita v'shaita have a tafchia ivra d'dosha. V'amre i'ika d'isle dino leil v'lesi. Right, and every time they were banging on the door, right, and saying, if anybody has a din Torah, come and, they made themselves available, for dinei Torah the whole day. Rav Chisda v'Rabba Barav Huna have a yasri b'dina kule yoma. Right, they also sat and were done the entire day, right, they sat from morning to night, and people used to come before them for dinei Torah. Havi kacholash libayu, and they got They got tired and hungry. Okay. Tanaluhu rabchia bara rab midifte vayamu to'oma Moshe min aboker ato erev. Right. It says that the people stood on Moshe Rabbeinu stood before him from morning to night. The chidhal al daat chashmoshi yoshev don kol ayom kulo. Moshe Rabbeinu was judged the Jewish people mamish all day from morning to night. Torah so Moshe. Now when did he learn Torah? When did he teach Torah? A dayin who's done din emes lamito. We'll discuss in 1 second what that means. Emes lamito. What? How much more of emes is it? Is if it's emes lamito, it's not just emes. Right? Even 1 hour, the Torah considers it as if he's a shutef laKadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseh bereishis. K'siv hocha vayamod ha'ama Moshe min aboker ad erev. U'k'siv hasam vayerev vayboker yom echad. Right, so there it means Minaboker Erev means that even for 1 hour of judging, it's like you judged all day, and you're what's it called? You're a shutif in my separations. Let's see the Rashi, and then we'll see what the Marsha says here. Also, b'din acher, also b'din acher, ukvar mu'tofin hay. If we're talking about the first din Torah of the day, then the beginning of that din Torah is when they put on the talasim. But if it's the second din Torah, whatever, then they already had their talis on. Ukshim nigmar also din, balif nehem din acher. When they finish that din, other people come in for the next din. Samach lemincha havi haschalasa mishiyif chesu bali din and betainus. Then, if it's getting close to mincha, the beginning of that din is when the bali din start to say their tainus. The hachalekal emeimu mishishyafu, because they already have the talasim on. Amudi shaliyas beis hamedrash nishin aleihem. Right, they used to learn between the pillars that the attic or the upstairs of the beis medrash was supported by these pillars. Cholash libayu mitstarin shlo asko alshayam betorah. So Rashi says cholash libayu means that they were upset. They didn't learn the whole day. They were busy with dinei Torah the whole day. They didn't learn anything. The Marsha says cholash libayu. Rashi says it here. Yeah, Rashi says it, 1 second. Mitzvah Rishol Asko Shloim B'Torah. And later on, Rashi says, Chol Ashli Bayu Loshen Tainesu, Shalos Sodu Kol Hayom. They were fasting. They didn't eat the whole day. Right? So they were fasting from a tainus. I don't know why in the first place he says Chol Ashli Bayu was they were upset they didn't learn Torah all day. And here he says that they were upset because they didn't eat. Right? They say Lamaisa, I think the Marsha says that Chol Ashli Bayu also means more that they didn't eat in the first case too. They were being done all day. They didn't have a chance to eat. So the Satani Luhuchia Bar Rav. Ah, no, Rashi says himself. Okay, no. Satani Luhuchia Bar Rav. She God Luschara Dayon and Lo Yitzdara. Don't be upset that you didn't learn all day. What's it called? Lamaisa, a person who's done Dinem Islamito, as if he learned, as if he's a Shutta for Maisa Bereshis. So don't worry about the fact that you didn't learn. The linira de enza mashmos loshli bayu. Wow, it's Rashi. Right. I think it doesn't mean cholish libayu that they were upset because they didn't learn. And loshin cholish datayu. Then it says cholish daite. Right. That would be me except they didn't learn. Chalishas hadas, not chalishas haleiv. The loshin cholish libayu, loshin tainisu. Shalosadu kolayon. They were hungry and tired because they didn't eat all day. That's the pshat. Tani lehuchia barav shein tzrichim leishiv elidin kol hayom. You don't have to sit in din all day. Ela miktzas hayom, only a portion of the day. The beis din has set hours. Umasha omer min aboker ad erev. Medrash Hu Shechoshev Hadaber Kamaisa Bereshit Shenemar Bo Erev Avoker. That which says that Moshe Rabbeinu was done all day, it doesn't mean he was done all day. It's impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. How could he be done all day, every day? Elamai, it means that if you're done, even a mixus of the day, even 1 hour, it's like you're a shuttif in Maisa Bereshit. Okay. So the Marsha says, and what exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu do? If he wasn't being done all day, he was only done, right, a set amount of time, then what was Yisro's taina? Right? Novelty ball, you can't keep this up, you're here all day and the people are standing up for you all day, what's it called? It wasn't true, he wasn't all day. So the Marsha says like this, the Moshe Rabbeinu split up his day. The morning, till Zman Suda, like we'll see, he used to be done. The people would come and he would be the judge. Then after lunch, he would teach Torah. But Yisro didn't understand that. Yisro thought he was being judged the whole day. He saw people in front of him all day. He thought what he did in the morning, he did in the afternoon too. So he said to him, you can't keep this up. You can't judge all day. Right? But he wasn't judging all day. That's what we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, that if, even if you judge part of the day, it's like you're a shut of my separation. But Yisro told him, fine, but you still can't keep this up, that all day you're involved with the people. Right? You're also not going to be able to do that. So choose one of them. Either judge them or teach them Torah. And since no one else can teach them Torah because you're the only one who knows it, right? So everybody else, what we teach them, they can judge. So let other people judge and you teach Torah all day. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to survive. That's what happened between Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, what's the idea of don din emes lamito? What's an emes lamito? So Tosfos says here, lafuke din maruma. Din maruma means where the judge is suspicious that everything is right, but it's too squeaky right. Like the Maaseh de Vilna Gaon, where two Edim said exactly the same story. And the Vilna Gaon said they must be lying. There's no two people that say exactly the same thing ever, unless they made it up ahead of time. So he said, even though everything here is al pidin, I can't find anything wrong with it, it's suspicious, and therefore he's not done. Right? He refuses to judge the case, right, and to do anything, I'll pee the Edom or whatever, because it's a suspicious case. So MS would be that you're done according to the Edom, according to the MS. MS Lamito means that you ignore sometimes the things in front of you and you get down to what's behind it. That's mamish, a shutuf with a Rebbeinu, because Rebbeinu judges like that. The Rebbeinu sees the heart, not just what's on the outside. The MS would be judging according to what's on the outside. And Islamito is beyond that. That's what Tosfos says, Lefi the Marsha in Sanhedrin. And because the Beis Yosef asked, that would be enough din emes. What do you mean, dem Islamito? Din Maruma is not din emes. So Marsha says, no, it's emes. It's emes if you look at the outside. But em Islamito is looking beyond the outside. Beis Yosef says, em Islamito means that the judge judges it for the sake of truth. Not because he likes one of the Bali Dinim, even though if I know this guy's innocent, this guy's guilty. Right? This guy's Chai, this guy's Potter. But I like the guy who's Potter. So I feel good that this guy won. Right? That's not Emes Lamito. Emes Lamito means I judge the MS for the sake of the MS, not for any ulterior motive. Okay? And the Marsha says, doesn't like that pshat, because the Gemara says that somebody who's not done din Emes Lamito causes the Shinna to go away. The mice, how could the shchina go away if the din is 100% din emes? There's nothing wrong with it, and it speaks about what's called shod aniyim. You are causing a loss to the ani. But according to the Beis Yosef, you're not causing a loss to anybody. You're just happy that the guy who won, won. So that's what's it called, that doesn't have any effect on who's right and who's wrong and who's getting what he deserves or doesn't. So it couldn't be. The Gemara in Sanhedrin doesn't seem to fit in with the Beis Yosef's pshat, the Marsha says. What? No, it's not talking where he's Nagias. It's after the fact. No Shochad, no nothing. It's 100% Emes, but he didn't do it for the sake of Emes. That's a, okay, let's go on. Ad Mosa Yoshvin Bedin. So now if you're not supposed to be done all day, right, the Dayan has to have time to learn also. So till when are you done? Omer of Sheshes, Ad Mansuda. Till lunch. Omer of Chama Mikra, Yechsiv Eloch Eret Shemal Keich Nar, Yisorayich Baboker Yochelu, right? Where is there a land that you're, with a land where the king is a nar, is a fool, and the sorin eat in the morning, Ashrecha Eret Shemal Keich Ben Chorim, it's better where the land and where the king is a free person, Yisorayich Ba'es Yochelu, they don't eat early in the morning, they eat at the proper time, right? Bigvura velo bishti. Bigvura shel Torah velo bishti shel yayin. They're osik in Torah, right? And they eat in the proper time, and they're not busy, what's it called, eating and drinking wine all day. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan. So there's a set time for the meal, and we'll see when that is. Rashi. Malkech dayonech, shadayin kori melech. The dayin is called a melech tushin. Emer melech the mishpat yamid oretz. The melech is the one who b'mishpat makes the world, what's it called, is mekayim the world. That's why he's called the shutta. Oh, I forgot. The Torah says, why is a person who's done din emes lamita was shuttif with HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseh bereishis? Because the world is kayim on a din, shalom and emes. So din keeps the world going. God created the world to keep it going. So the person who keeps it going is a shuttif with the Rebbe Shalom. He created it, you're keeping it going. Tana Rabbanan. Shari Shona Michael Ludin. The first hour of the day, that's when Ludin, cannibals, eat. Right? They, what's it called, are very hungry people. Right? Baharaya, they eat people. So, and therefore, they can't wait to eat. So they eat right away, what's it called? They chop people on the way to davening and eat them. Okay. So they eat the first hour. Rashi Ludim Uma Shikorim Kanlins. The Ochle Odamhein. The Hemra Vasonim. Right? They're very hungry people. They eat people. Shnia Michael Listin. The second hour is when Ganovin eat. Because also they're busy stealing or whatever, and they have been up all night stealing. So they're hungry in the morning, they eat the second hour. Shlishis Machal Yorshim. The third hour is Yorshim. Yorshim means batlonim, people who inherited their wealth. They didn't work for it. So they don't have to get up early to work, right? They're not like the cannibals and the ganovim who've been up all night or whatever. And they didn't have to get up early. So they get up in the third hour of the day. And because they're leisurely people. And they eat. They like to eat early too, because they don't have anything to do. They just sit around all day and enjoy their wealth. So Mamela, they eat in the third hour. Revius Michael Poalim. The fourth hour is when Poalim, they get up early, they start to work, they take a 10 o'clock, what's it called, break for eating. Right. This is the fourth hour of the day is about 10 o'clock. Right. So the Poalim, right, start working. They don't eat before they work. And they take a break at 10 o'clock. That's when they eat their lunch. Aruchat Esher. Chamishis Michael Kolodim. The fifth hour is when normal people eat. People aren't working. They're not Yorshim. They're not cannibals or whatever. They eat in the fifth hour of the day, which is, what, about 11 o'clock. Something like that. That's a Eini Vomer HaPapa Reviyiz Mansud L'Chodom. The fourth hour is the time when normal people eat, about 10 o'clock. El Reviyiz Michael Kolodim. And Echanani. The 10 o'clock is the time that normal people eat. Chamishis Michael Poalim, the fifth hour is when Poalim eat. Right? They want to get a nice start in the day, and they eat in the fifth hour. Shishis Michael Tamid HaChacham, who learn all morning, so they don't eat till the sixth hour. Mikan ve'elech kezorik evin lechamas. And from then on, if you didn't eat till the sixth hour, it's like throwing a stone into a flask. And the Marsha explains, what's that mean? Because the stone does nothing for the flask, just fills it up. So if you eat after that time, the only thing you accomplish is you fill your stomach up. But it's not nutritional after the sixth hour. Omer Abaya, lo amrin el delo toim midi b'tzafra. That's not if you didn't eat anything in the morning. You didn't eat breakfast. Aval toim midi b'tzafra les lamba. They used to eat two big meals in the day. Lunch and supper. They didn't eat breakfast. So if you waited to eat your lunch till after the sixth hour and you didn't eat anything that day beforehand, then it's what's it called, it's not healthy. But if you ate something, it's actually not even bread, but you ate something in the morning, then even if you delayed your lunch till after the sixth hour, then it's, what's it called, not a problem. So this idea of eating dafka pas shachris, what's it called, dafka eating bread for breakfast or whatever, the chorad doesn't, it's as long as you ate something in the morning, then your main meal in the afternoon will be a fine meal, even if it's after the sixth hour. Okay, Rashi. Machal Yorshim, Yorshe Hon, people who inherit a lot of money, Hon Rav, Shalot Tarchubo, they didn't put any effort into it, they just inherited it. They ain't asukim, the dogim, loshut achri mazonos, they don't have to work, they don't have to go and make a parnasa, the lasok b'malacha, so they get up leisurely at the third hour and eat. Kizorik evin lechamas, kosher leguf, it's not healthy. The li nira lo kasha lo yafin. Rashi says it's not healthy. It's just not beneficial. Right? It's not that it's harmful. It's just like the Marsha says. It's like throwing a rock into a flask. It doesn't hurt the flask. It doesn't do anything for it either. Okay, right. Omer avada barava. Mispalol odem tfilaso vesamerchot. Since we mentioned taking a bath, so we're going to say some of the halachas about a beis hamerchatz. Later on, the Gemara speaks about beis hamerchatz more berachbis. We'll wait till we get there to speak about the halachas, but some of them we'll mention here. Right, you're allowed to daven in a bathhouse. Meiste. Hanichnas lebeis hamerchatz, the Gemara has a kasha, lechora, if you, what's it called, the Braisa says that when you go into a beis hamerchatz, right, makom shebnei adam omdim levushim, yeshom mikro tefila. There's three areas in the bathhouse. There was the outer area that was like the vestibule. So everybody comes into there, and they're all dressed. Right, that's the first area you come into. Everybody's dressed there. So in that area, you can learn, you can daven. The ain't sarach lomer shila shalom. You're allowed to say shalom. Right, use God's name in that place. Umeiniach tefillin. You're allowed to put on tefillin there. You don't have to take them off. If you're wearing your tefillin, you don't have to take them off when you get into the outer room, because everybody's dressed there. Then you go into the middle room. In the middle room, that's the dressing room. So some people are dressed and some people are undressed. Okay? Sham, yeshom shila shalom. You're allowed to say shalom there. The ain sham nikru tefillah, but you're not allowed to learn or daven there. The ain ocholich tefillin. You don't have to take off your tefillin if you had them on. When you walk into the dressing room, but you don't put on the tefillin lechatchil in the dressing room. Then you go into the next room where everybody's undressed. That's the place where the bath is. Okay. There you're not allowed to say shalom. Surely you're not allowed to learn in David. The cholech tefillin, and there if you're wearing tefillin, you have to take them off. Surely you can't put them on. Right, Mar says, "Ki komer Rav Ada Barava b'merchat shein bo adam." So the Mar says, "No, where Rav Ada Barava said that you're allowed to learn Torah and daven in a merchat, which is mashma, the place where they're washing, where they're bathing, is where there's nobody there. But if there's somebody there, then anachanami, you're not, surely not allowed to do any of these things in the inner chamber of the bathhouse." Mar says, "Bahamar Rav Yosei." Bar Chanina, Merchat Shom Rachel Bishain Boadam, right? A Merchat is Osir even if nobody's there. So that can't be the answer. That it's talking about the Merchat, it's talking about the actual bath place, and nobody's there, and then you're allowed to daven. It's not true. Even if there's nobody there, a bath place where you bathe is not a proper place. And the same thing goes, Besakise Shomru, Rachel Bishain Botsoa. Besakise, they cleaned it out from all the garbage. Right, still, you're not allowed to daven. A beis hakiseh is not a nice place to daven. So a beis hamerchatz is not a nice place to daven. Ela ki kom ravada bechadeti. No, it's about a new one. You haven't used it yet. It's not that it's a bathhouse and there's nobody there right now. There was never anybody there. It's a new bathhouse. Okay, nobody's ever bathed there. Aivo hami boye boyle ravina. His minu le beis hakiseh mahu. Ye zimun o ein zimun. No, that's a shaila that Ravina asked about a beis hakiseh. If you built a new bathroom and nobody's used it yet, it's never been used, but it's hazmana. You designated it as a bathroom. Is that already make it a bathroom and you're not allowed to daven or learn there or whatever? Or no, it doesn't have a din of a bathroom yet because nobody used it, right? Velo ifshitilei. That shaila was not what's it called was not answered. So lechora you can't say it's talking about a new one because that's a shaila that we don't know the answer to. My la, what's it called? Lav hu adin lemerchatz. Isn't that the same halacha by a merchatz? So we wouldn't know what the halacha is. And the Meili can't say that they were talking about because then they should have been poshed it from Rav Ada Barava. So Mar says, "Lo, dil mashani beis hakisei the mois." Now, where the shaila was the beis hakisei, what's it called, which is disgusting. So maybe if you designate it for beis hakiseh, even if you didn't use it, it's still a disgusting place. But a beis hamerchatz is not a disgusting place. So if you bathe there, even if nobody's there, you're not allowed to daven there. But if you never bathe there, it's new, and it's not a disgusting place,
It's not the same thing as a Beis HaKisei. Maybe Rav Ada Bar Abba held that a Beis HaMerchatz is different than a Beis HaKisei. Okay, see Rashi. Merchatzo Shulahem Gimel Chadorim Hoyulot. Their bathhouses had three rooms. Pnimi Lahazil Ishtateif. The inner one was where they actually bathed and schwitzed. It was like a steam bath. Emtsoi Shior Latochum in Amerchatz Lovish Chaluko. The middle one is where they undressed to go into the bath, and when they came out of it, they dressed. The Yotze Lechitzom, the Gomer Levishasu, and then they went into the outer room and continued, finished off dressing. So the outer room, everybody was dressed already. The middle room, some people were dressed, some people weren't. And the inner room, everybody was bathing, they were undressed. The Nachsham Shom Egiyas Amerchatz. In the outer room, they would sit for a little while, right, because it was a big tircha, it was a big deal to rest before they went outside. Omdim Arumim Pnimi, Mikra Kriyashma, Arumim Malavushim, and Tsoi, Shiotze Be'orim, Mahar Lechasas Atzmo, Viyotze Lechitzot. Right? The people in the middle room are in the middle of getting dressed and undressed. The Cholech Tzilim Erosho, Vein Tzorech Lomershim, Oso Be'yodah, Betik Shalohem, Sheinu Maniach. Yeah, there you have to take off your tefillin, surely you can't put them on. For Hadar Tani, the Ein Tzorech Lomer, Adi the Boy, Lemiste Mitziosa, the Eino Maniach, the Eino Cholech, Shem Tzoi, Loke Merchatz Gomerhu, Umitzis Torres Merchatz Olav, the middle room is not mamash a bathhouse, but it has some halachas of a bathhouse. There you don't have to take off your tefillin, but you can't put them on. So in the inner one it says, not only don't you have to, can't you put them on, you have to take them off. It said at the same lashon to make it parallel to what was on the middle room. He took out all the garbage from the Beis HaKisei, so you can't daven there. Nobody ever took a bath there. It was a new bathhouse. Elish is minulakaf, but they designated for that. Shani Beis HaKisei the Moyish, the shame magunol of it. It's a disgusting place. So even though you never used it, it's designated to be a disgusting place. You can't daven there. Mishum hachi misapkulon bazmanoso. That's why there's a shaila whether if nobody ever used it, if it's also a mutter. But a Beis HaMerchatz, it's not a disgusting place. That's okay. Just one or two halachas about a Beis HaMerchatz. The Ran holds that you're allowed to be mahara b'divrei Torah in the middle room, where some people are dressed and some people are not dressed. You're allowed to think about divrei Torah. The Ramah also paskens like that. And the Tosis holds that it's also there. And the Mishnah Berurah says that if there's no one undressed there in the middle room, you're allowed to, what's it called, say Kriya Shema and what's it called, and the Brachas or whatever. The Meiri says that all of these halachas only apply to a bathhouse where there's really hot water and steam, and it's really disgusting. People go there to wash off their from being dirty, so the whole atmosphere there is one of zoam, of dirt. But in a mikveh, people don't go to wash. They just go to be tovel. So the atmosphere, and it's also not the place where there's plenty of steam and dirt and sweat or whatever. People are clean when they go into the mikveh, right? So there, or a swimming pool, be the same thing. Doesn't have a din of a Beis HaMerchatz. Okay, and there's a Shailag Maisa. Svardim are more machmir, not to say brachas, in the mikveh itself. Have a din of Beis HaMerchatz. And Ashkenazim hold that it's what's it called, it's mutter to say the bracha in the mikveh itself. What's it called? It's like this Meiri, that doesn't have a din of a Beis HaMerchatz, a mikveh, and some hold that it's only the bracha and tvila that you're allowed to say, because otherwise at seikus or whatever, but other things, other divrei Torah, you shouldn't say even in a mikveh. But l'maisa, the Meiri holds that a mikveh doesn't have any of these din. The same thing would be by a swimming pool, even if people swim without clothing, right? But it's not a place where it's nafish zoam.